In the darkness behind the mirror, something stirred. It was an eye, cat-slitted in silver. Though it hung alone in the emptiness, Alice knew it was enormous, as big across as she was tall. It focused on her, the great pupil narrowing, and in its gaze she felt something inscrutable and alien. And yet she felt no fear. Instead, staring back into the abyss, she felt warmth, kindness, love. A voice in her mind, strange and familiar all at once. Alice. She sat bolt upright in bed, sheets tangled around her feet. Her cheeks were slick with sweat, and her heart pounded. She was in the room that her master Gurion had given her when she'd first arrived on his estate, a dingy third-floor bedroom fit for a servant. It felt like home now, if anywhere did. She knew every crack of the peeling paint, the smell of old wood and freshly laundered sheets, and the endless creaks and groans of the ancient building. Two stuffed rabbits, all that she'd been allowed to carry away from her father's old house, sat on the windowsill like sentinels. She didn't have to stay in this room if she didn't want to. Gurion was right where Alice had put him, bound inside the infinite prison, lost in an endless sea of mirror images. There was no one to tell Alice where to sleep, where to go, what to do. It should have been freeing, but she felt more hemmed in than ever. Instead of Gurion's orders restraining her, now an iron cage of responsibility squeezed her ever more tightly. There was no chance of getting back to sleep. Alice waited until her heart slowed, then swung out of bed and stretched her aching legs. A surprisingly loud growl from her stomach reminded her that she'd missed dinner, again. If I'm going to be awake, I might as well get something to eat. It was still hours before dawn, but in Gurion's house, the kitchen never closed. Alice shuffled into her slippers and opened the door to her room carefully. The house, which had felt empty for so long, now had several dozen inhabitants. The rooms immediately around hers were taken by the other apprentices, the friends who'd thrown in their lot with her after facing the Ouroborian. She passed their doors quietly. Isaac, her oldest friend, who'd once stolen the dragon's book for his master. Dex, inveterate optimist, who'd fought beside her in Esau's fortress. Jen and Michael, younger than Alice, devoted to each other, the former fierce and the latter cautious. Down the corridors were others, magical creatures from Gurion's library who'd begged her for shelter. As the labyrinthine ending, the library's guardian, fought back the attacks of the old readers, the once peaceful library had become a war zone. Some of the inhabitants had retreated to their books, but many creatures in the library didn't have that option because their own worlds had become hostile and had nowhere else to go. These refugees, sprites, the mushroom people called Enoki, and stranger things, had taken up residence in the empty bedrooms of Gurion's manor house. The kitchen was built on the same massive scale as the rest of the house, with acres of long wooden tables and ovens big enough to roast an ox. It was normally empty, since all the work was done by efficient, invisible servants who moved only when you turned your back. Tonight, though, Alice wasn't the only nocturnal visitor. Isaac sat at one of the long tables, in front of a jug of milk and a plate piled high with pastries. "Knock, knock," Alice said, coming through the open doorway. Isaac looked up with exactly the guilty expression she'd pictured, which made her grin. "Oh," he said, "it's you." "Who were you expecting?" "I honestly don't know," Isaac sighed. "Half the time I still wake up expecting to find my master, my former master, looking down at me." Alice's grin faded. He looked tired and pale, worn out. The same thing she saw in her own face when she looked in the mirror. Wearing only a nightshirt and trousers, without his voluminous trench coat, he seemed smaller than usual, more vulnerable. His brown hair was growing out, flopping in unruly curls down the back of his neck. "Are you going to eat all of those?" she said. "Or can you spare a few?"
"Please."
He pushed the plate toward her.
"I can't seem to get this place to understand that I just want a snack."
Alice sat beside him. Another cup had appeared on the table the moment she looked away, and a fresh jug of ice-cold milk. She poured and took a pastry. They were flaky and warm, filled with raspberry jam. If Gurion had died, all of this, everything that made the house work, the hidden creatures who fixed the food and did the laundry, would have ground to a halt, like a watch with its mainspring removed. She'd seen that in Esau's fortress, the gradual unraveling of a reader's domain after their power vanished. By trapping her old master alive, she'd kept the house running. She'd also hoped to conceal what had happened from the other old readers. That part, unfortunately, hadn't worked.